Assalamu alaikum, everyone. This is Religion Means Alive with Qadira Aisha Muhammad as your co-host on today's show. Today's topic is Assalamu alaikum, everyone. This is Qadira Aisha Muhammad with Religion Means Alive for today. Today's topic will be, why are STDs rampant among African Americans? We are expecting a guest, and what I'll do is I'll just talk until the guest arrives. And I just wanted to, you know, talk about what STDs are rampant among African Americans. And the numbers that I found statistically wise are crazy. Like it's insane. Like in this day and age, I mean, I know that they have, you know, different preventative drugs and different pills and things that you can take to prevent or even cure getting, you know, a STD and so forth. But what you want to do is you want to prevent that before that even happens. Just looking at like the HIV rate and things of that nature, you know, I was aware that the numbers were high among African Americans, but I was extremely shocked to see what statistics were. In all actuality, it made me really sick to my stomach to see that most of the people that were contracting STDs were, and this is where I got sick, from the age of eight-year-olds, male and female, African Americans, are now part of the highest rate of people who are contracting STDs. And of those STDs, the ones that they were contracting were the severe ones, HPV, human papillomavirus, HIV, chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, among eight-year-olds. Again, I'm going to say it. Eight-year-olds were contracting these diseases via sexual transmitted practices, eight-year-olds. Between the age of 8 and 23, that is the prime target age for contracting these diseases. So what I'll say is, for you older guys who like younger girls or even vice versa, be careful of who you're dealing with. Get tested. You know, people hop from bed to bed and they're dilly-dallying with all kinds of people and doing this unprotected. Just because you have vaginal sex, that's not the only way that you can contract a sexually transmitted disease. So I just want to put out there, what are some of the ways that you can contract sexually transmitted diseases, and you don't even have to have penetration between the vagina. Okay, so you can get sexually transmitted diseases orally. I know a lot of people don't know that. So if you get oral fellatio, oral sex, a blowjob, I'm just going to be frank, a blowjob, you can contract gonorrhea, chlamydia, HIV, and the human papillomavirus. So you can get all those things vaginally, I mean orally, from oral sex. That's for both man and a woman, because with gonorrhea, it can stay in your throat. So if you were a guy and you went down on a girl, you can transmit it that way. Another way that you can get it without having vaginal sex is anally. I know in Islam, anal sex is forbidden. You are not to enter your wife from that end. We know that. But this is another way that people are contracting STDs. Anybody knows your anus is one of the nastiest, dirtiest parts on your body. So when you have unprotected sex, you're transmitting that. And for most women, we know that if you make a mistake and wipe back to front instead of front to back, you can get a yeast infection, you can get a UTI. It's so easy for us to get a bacterial infection because we wiped the incorrect way. So just wanted to put it out there as far as the ways that you can get it. You can also get it through, you know, we'll go back to the 80s and 90s, through sharing needles. We all know that people who use heroin or meth or even cocaine, if you want to shoot it up and you share, you know, a needle or whatever like that, you can contract HIV, you can get HEP, you know, so many other, you know, diseases that's transmitted through via blood. So those can also be sexually transmitted diseases, but they can be received intravenously through IV drug use. The numbers are just crazy, and didn't really get a chance to look in the numbers for Philadelphia, but there was an article out not too long ago in regards to what zip code had the highest rate of new HIV cases. And that zip code was 19143, Southwest Philadelphia. I grew up in that area. And unfortunately, I know a couple people that do have HIV that lives in that area. They were saying that 1 in 23 people within that zone, that zip code, is HIV positive or has AIDS. If these numbers aren't scaring you guys, wake up. Because everybody says, oh, it can't happen to me. And it could just be that one time that you didn't have protection and you went out and slept with somebody and you contracted. We got to wake up. These numbers are scary. If anybody knows anything about growing older, as we see more centennial people reaching over the age of 100. Me, myself, I can't retire till I'm 73. So that goes to tell you right then and there that the life expectancy is increasing. Yes, they have these new drugs out there. You know, back in the 80s, You would have to take 10 to 20 drugs to survive back in those times with HIV, so it wouldn't go into full-blown AIDS. You know, now I believe like the cocktail is down to maybe one or two pills. And now they have perfected the remedy for it so much so that if you went to go take a blood test, it wouldn't even show up in your blood system. Because you're taking this cocktail that's another thing that is increasing the rate of STDs among African Americans is because I believe like the media is not putting the focus on contracting STDs. Like in the 80s when I was growing up, anytime you would look on, you would see posters, you would see everything telling you, no sex before marriage, abstinence, you know, don't have unprotected sex. We had all kinds of different avenues like, I'm trying to think, is it Babashi? They would come out to the schools and they would give out free condoms. They would tell you like where your local health center was so that you could get checked and tested and things of that nature. You don't see that anymore. It's because, you know, now they got these cocktails and people think that, you know, okay, I'll just, if I do contract it, I'll just go and, you know, go get the cocktail or whatever like that. But what if your health care coverage doesn't cover that? You have to pay for that out of pocket. A lot of these drug and pharmaceutical companies are in this for the money. And if your insurance doesn't cover it, guess what? You're going to go into full-blown AIDS and you're going to die. You're going to die. It's not a joke to see someone die from AIDS. Because the person doesn't actually die from AIDS. What happens is AIDS, once it's full blown, it weakens your immune system so much so that you can contract any kind of disease. And the majority of people die from some kind of pneumonia or bacterial infection or sometimes some kind of rare cancer because your immune system is so weakened that you're susceptible to catch anything. To see somebody die from AIDS is just like watching someone deteriorate from cancer. If you love yourself enough, protect yourself and protect your family. Now, I'm going to talk about something that I know a lot of people don't want to hear because we're Muslim and things like that, and I understand it. But this is something that needs to be addressed. We have a lot of people, and I'm not going to just put it to the Muslim community, period. We have a lot of people out there, men, who are on the down low or secretly gay. They're sleeping with men, unprotected, and come home to their wife and pass it on to her. And this woman may have been faithful, never even dared look at another man. And here her husband is out there sleeping with another man. And you contract AIDS or get HIV or some other sexually transmitted diseases. That was one of the highest rates of transmission is from a heterosexual female contracting it from her male partner. That was 68%. 68% of the new one each year, 100,000 people are identified as having HIV or AIDS in a year's time. 68% of those people are women who contracted it in a heterosexual relationship. I'm just putting the numbers out there. Guys, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to point fingers. I'm here to make sure everybody remains safe. If you're out there doing whatever you're doing, whether it's man, woman, animal, whatever have you, whatever you're doing, however you're doing it, strap up. Have enough respect for your family and your children. Because if you got HIV and you pass it to your wife, she gets HIV. And remember what I said, if your health care insurance can't cover it, who's going to take care of your kids? I think that's the most selfish act ever, is because you're acting on an impulse to self-gratify yourself through a sexual action that you negate everything else and do that and put everyone else's lives in the balance is very selfish. Another state that I looked at that was very alarming was California. Okay, so in the whole of America, and we, again, this is just documented. We know that we have people who are undocumented who are not going to their doctors, to their health clinic, to a private, you know, physician or whatever have you to get cured from these diseases, the ones that are able to get cured, that these are the known numbers. So these are the known numbers that I'm referring to. I'm sure that these numbers are extremely higher. Okay, I think we have a caller. And if you want to put him through, you can.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Assalamu alaikum. Hello.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Is this Nafis?
Yes, it is. This is Nafis Salam.
Shukra for joining. I really appreciate you taking some time out your schedule to, you know, give us some information about your program that fits what we're talking about today. We're talking about why is the STD rate so rampant and high amongst African Americans. So if you don't mind, as you know, we spoke earlier in regards like things that I would ask you, just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your program and how it works.
Okay, not a problem. First, my name is Nafis Yassin Salam. I'm the founder and CEO of ISAN, the Islamic Health Support Network, and the SIRN, the Planning Council, Stop Recidivism Now. We address issues such as HIV, Hep C, recidivism, substance abuse, and domestic violence. Because we find that these five issues are diametrically and undeviatingly connected in the urban communities and within the Islamic community. These are things that definitely need to be addressed within our communities. A lot of times, our Islamic community turns their head to these issues, but they really need to be addressed. I am certified by the state. I have two state certifications. I'm in the city of Philadelphia, so I have a state certification by the state of Pennsylvania and by the the Department of Health in the city of Philadelphia. I worked at Drexel University as a peer health specialist. I'm a rapid HIV testing specialist and counselor. I've spoken at the convention center. I've done a lot of presentations to a lot of local transition and halfway houses here in the city of Philadelphia. And I've also worked and now am in partnership with Philadelphia Fight with my program.
Okay. Thank you for that. That was a lot of good information you were rattling off there. I appreciate that. Go ahead,
So, I think, I mean, about in regards to my program, we are an Islamic-based program, but we help anybody. The only requirement for service is the need for help. So, whether you're a Catholic or Christian or Hindu or Rasta, it doesn't even matter. If you need help, you come there, we will help you. We will test you, we will educate you, we will counsel you, or we will refer you to one of our allying agencies that deal with certain areas that we address. You know, I love my work. My work is I've been doing this for a long time. I started my program in 2002. I think I brought it to Virginia, which it actually fell on deaf ears at that time. I just think the people weren't progressive enough to grab hold of this. I brought it to Philadelphia in 2008. By 2010-11, I partnered with Philadelphia Fight, and we've been running ever since.
Alhamdulillah, that's impressive. That's good. Like, you know, that, you know, even though it's a Muslim-based program, that you still help anybody. Is there a cost or a fee associated with any of the items that you provide or services that you provide for your clients?
Not at all. Most of our money comes through funding. Like I just said, Philadelphia Fight had just became a fiscal sponsor of ours. We just submitted a grant in regards to a $20,000 grant, which we hope we should get and hear something about by October 4th. So most of our money and everything comes from different donations, applying for grants, or people that actually really want to be involved with this program and help other people. And we continue to try to beg the Islamic communities throughout the city of Philadelphia and actually wherever the Islamic communities are at. You know, this is an issue that is not only in Philadelphia and it's not only with Muslims. This is an issue that needs to be addressed, and we need your support. We need your help. We need these imams to come up and inform their ummah that, you know, there's a place for you to go that is culturally competent and can deal with you Islamically.
Right. And that's extremely important because, you know, like you said, a lot of times people don't want to address these issues because, you know, Islamically speaking, you shouldn't be having sex outside of marriage. You shouldn't be fornicating. You should only be having sex with your wife. And a lot of times when, you know, people get married within the community, they're not, you know, seeking out their doctor or asking their partner to get tested, which I believe that that's something that should be mandatory. And it's not even for the simple fact that, you know, catching a communicable disease. It's for the fact that, you know, children's lives are in danger when you have diseases such as like HIV, which can, you know, turn into AIDS. And then you have a mother and a father who are now deceased, and you got these five or six kids out here with no parents. So, I mean, like you said, the Islamic community needs to really get on board, and we understand that we don't want to talk about these issues because we believe they don't happen to us, but in reality, they do, and you may have a lot of people that this is affecting, and, you know, they want to keep turning a blind eye to these things, but these are things that are affecting, you know, homes. It's a fact. I mean, you can turn your head against certain things, like, you know, no one wants to speak on the gay issue regarding sexually transmitted diseases. No, we don't believe that, you know, if you can't be a gay Muslim. We understand it. But the fact of the matter is this stuff is happening. You have wives who have been in a marriage that have not slept with no one else in their lifetime except for this man, and now she's HIV positive. How did she contract it? Through a heterosexual relationship or marriage with her husband. How did he contract it? From having gay sex. And I mean, right. It's just something that needs to be addressed, and we need to stop sweeping it under the rug and acting like it doesn't exist, because it does. And,
right.
You know.
It definitely exists, but I also want to touch on another avenue. You spoke on something that is definitely tearing the homes apart, the Islamic homes apart, but it's tearing the community as a whole, all the urban communities, the African-American communities, and the Islamic community. This is actually deteriorating our family fibers, our whole support system, because if the man or the woman, regardless of how they contract the virus, if they contract it, then it takes away from their role in their family. It takes away from their role. If a man contracts it, it takes away from his role as being a man and provider to his family, or being a productive person in that community. Also, there's an issue where, I know you spoke a lot about homosexuality, but there's also things such as pre-Shahada activity. You have men and women prior to embracing Islam that were HIV drug users, or that were just
right.
Promiscuous, or the women were in prostitution, or, you know, all these things. And there's a social economical stigma that is attached to this too, because people sometimes, and you know, a lot of people turn their heads to this, but people trade sex for food, for places right. to live, for things of this nature. So it's hard, and I feel personally, I feel it's wrong for anybody to put a stigma or a judgment on another Muslim because he or she has contracted this virus, and you don't know how they contracted it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It could have been a matter where a man could have contracted it from his mother. His mother had it, and he was born with it. And the medication kept him alive 30, 40 years, and now he's coming out saying, I have HIV, and the Islamic community pushes him away or puts a stigma right. or some type of judgment on him without even finding out how he caught it or what's going on with him, and they won't offer him the support that he needs, the counseling that he needs, or put him in a direction where he can get the correct medication.
Well, alhamdulillah, we got people like you out there that are out there to, you know, assist people in these type of situations and give them, you know, counseling and give them a way to, you know, have a positive outlook on something that is a death sentence if they don't have the proper, you know, medication. So, you know, may Allah reward you for all your efforts and everything that you're doing for the Muslim community and for everybody that you help there at your program. Now, I want to ask you a question in regards to, like, when you do the rapid HIV testing and so forth, do you provide, like, counseling services for the person if their test does come back positive?
Of course. We have a counseling. Actually, we have a process. We do a screening process prior to even testing anybody because depending on the state of mind of the person or how they contracted or their lifestyle or whatever, sometimes it's not even permissible to test them because we don't know how they're going to react to a negative response. I mean, rather to a positive
right.
reaction to this test. Because I've tested many people from many walks of life, many nationalities, many religious beliefs, and you'd be surprised at some of the comments that I hear when a person finds out that they're positive. You know, to the point that they're going to kill themselves, or they're going to give it to every woman or man that they meet, or they're going to, you know what I mean? It's crazy. So we do a pre-screening prior to the testing. After the testing, once a positive result comes back, we definitely set up some counseling for them, an assessment. We try to find out some type of treatment. We find out an avenue of attack, what type of lifestyle they're living, try to change that or try to change their thinking pattern, because once you have contracted this virus, everything has to change in your life.
Right.
Your way of living, your eating habits, everything has to change if you're trying to stay alive. And you're trying because, you know, I've had a lot of clients that come through my office, and I have a woman that's actually right now 40 years with this virus, and you would
wow.
not be able to tell. She's thick and healthy and looks great. I also have a video out, which I did. It says The New Face of HIV. It's on YouTube, and it asks people right here in Philadelphia, right at Borden Cecil B. Moore, and it asks people, what does a person with HIV look like? Can you tell? Because you really can't tell. And at the end, it's a Muslim sister that comes up, and again, she looks straight, and she opens up and says that she is HIV positive. And has been so for 30-some years.
It's really important that people understand that, you know, people with diseases don't necessarily show them, you know. Like my daughter, she has a form of sickle cell. And looking at her, you wouldn't be able to tell. She looks healthy and everything like that until, you know, you do blood work, and that's how you find out. Like, so people need to understand that the stigmatism of you looking sick doesn't happen until you're almost at death's door. Like,
right.
In reality, you're going to look healthy just like everyone else until your immune system really starts to break down. What are some of the highest numbers, if you can share with us, what are some of the highest diseases, sexually transmitted diseases that you see that's positive, that comes up positive within Philly a lot? Like, give me the top three that you see are at an alarming rate here in Philly?
We're on the top of HIV. In Philadelphia, HIV transmission rate is 5 times over the national average. So that's incredible on its own. Hep C, because of the mode of transmission, it runs parallel with HIV. So 9 times out of 10, if a person has HIV, they've contracted Hep C also. So that's the first two. Thirdly, you might get herpes, because herpes comes right along. It's a virus. You know what I mean? So that it comes all along with the sexual promiscuity and, you know, this being out there in the street. I also want to touch on something real fast that you spoke of, because you brought up the zip code 19143. That's Southwest Philly.
Right.
And I'm from West Philly. But I have actually a chart that shows both the highest rate of infections in the city of Philadelphia and the number of messages that are in those areas. And 19143 has a large number of messages and is the highest rate of infections in the city of Philadelphia. So it would be safe to say that, this is not a guarantee, but it would be safe to say that a lot of Muslims in that area, or those that say they're Muslims, have contracted this virus. We don't know for sure. We can't put a label on these people, but you know that you have a lot of people that say they're Muslims, but they don't actively practice the deen.
Right.
But, you know, they come across as Muslims, but they're doing other things out in the street. So we have to take all that in consideration. You also have a lot of other zip codes, 19144, 19140, 32, 33, 23, 36, 46, 39, 04. All these are areas in the city of Philadelphia that have high rates of HIV infection and high masses of Muslims in that area in masjid. So this is definitely something that needs to be addressed within the Islamic community. The numbers don't lie.
Absolutely. And Nafis, not to cut you off, I just want to put this back out here to the public. If you guys think that Nafis or I are making up these numbers, you can do the research for yourself. This is something, you know, this is something that touched me personally that I wanted to put out there, because I see so much stuff going on in the Islamic community, and it's making me sick to my stomach to see the things that these sisters and brothers are going through unnecessarily. You can do this by getting tested. If you listen to the information, I'm going to have Nafis provide me with the information to his program. The services are free. I'm going to put it on my page personally, and I'm going to put it on my the business page that I use for Religion Means a Lot, so that we can get this information out here to you guys. It's confidential. No one's going to release the information. But if you want to get tested, please just go out there and get tested and make sure that you're healthy. Another thing I just want to touch on really quick is if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to go through this program, you can go to any Walgreens, Rite Aid, CVS, and get an OraQuick. An OraQuick is basically almost similar to a rapid test. Nafis, correct me if I'm wrong. It's like a rapid HIV test that you can buy over the counter at many pharmacies. They have it. It runs anywhere between $75 and $85, depending on where you're at, and plus tax and so forth. But you can go get one of those kits if you just want to test to see if you're HIV positive. If that test did come back positive, I would suggest that you then reach out to your primary care physician or seek out a program like Nafis where they could help you with counseling and then be able to better direct you. If your test result came back positive, you could also do another test, because you could have done something wrong and that test wasn't accurate, just to confirm, you know, two tests better than one, and, you know, get retested to see if you get the same results. I'm just urging everybody out there to get tested, because the numbers that I'm seeing, and Nafis, you can speak on this in a few seconds once I'm done, the younger generation that are contracting these diseases, we're not talking about kids 16, 17, 18, where they're almost in their late teens. We're talking about kids under the age of 14 that are contracting these sexually transmitted diseases that are life-threatening. These kids haven't even lived yet, and they're contracting these diseases because they're doing whatever out there that they have to do to maybe survive, you know, eat, whatever. They're, you know, in an environment that's not safe for them or whatever have you, but the number is growing. Do you have any statistics on that? Like, what is the youngest age that you're seeing for HIV infection?
I don't have accurate numbers on ages. I can speak from experience that because of the age and I guess just the sign of the times that, you know, young men and young women, whether they're homosexual or heterosexual, feel the need to have sex or explore with sex, and they're not doing it in an educated way. They're just running out there. The rap music, their friends, the weed, I don't know what it is, but it just has them out there. And they're having sex, unprotected sex, and they're just having sex with anybody. And it is alarming, and definitely... I go along with you 150%. Whoever's listening, please go get tested. If you don't come to a saying, go somewhere and get tested. She said $80, $75 for a test. That's a small price to pay for your life, to save your life. I do have numbers on the state of Philadelphia, on the state of Pennsylvania that speaks of all the counties in the state and accumulated cases in Philadelphia alone are 30,561. These are people who have contracted HIV. This is the highest rate in the state of Pennsylvania, and it goes through all the counties, Burke counties, Washington County, Clinton County, McKean, Armstead, through all the little counties, big counties. Philadelphia has the highest rate. And the reported people who have died are 12,752, and they say there's currently 17,809 people alive with this virus. But you also have to remember, this is only what has been recorded by the CDC.
Right,
You have many people out there that have this virus that hasn't been tested. This is why it's important to go get tested. Know your status so you can start helping yourself. Then you have those that have been tested, and they've tested positive, but they stop right there. They don't go to seek counseling. They don't go anywhere, and so they continue to transmit this virus to others. So this is
a very serious issue. And I was just looking at some of the statistics, and based on the numbers that you just provided, I just want you to correct me if I'm wrong. I was reading that there are approximately reportedly 100,000 new HIV cases each year. Now, that means there are 1.1 million people living with HIV/AIDS, and of that 1.1 million, 506,000 are African American. So that comprised African American males and females. So if you took that number, 506,000, and then you took Philadelphia, which you said is approximately 30,000, that should scare anybody. That's crazy, because if it's 506,000 black people that are contracting this disease each year, and you just specified that on average, it's about 30,000 people in the Philadelphia area. That's insane.
It's
that scary. So, people, I'm going to just read those numbers again so that you can hear these numbers. These are factual numbers that I pulled from the CDC, and Nafis is backing it up from the work that he does. There are 100,000 HIV new cases each year. So that means it's 1.1 million or 1,100,000 million people living with HIV/AIDS. 506,000 of that 1.1 million or African American. Yeah. Now, Narcissus backed it up. Approximately 30,000 out of that 506,000 people are Philadelphia.
Yeah,
do y'all not hear that number? Please, people, I'm just telling you, like, these, I've seen whole families devastated. Whole families devastated over the mother and father both contracting HIV, dying, and leaving kids to raise. I had a good friend years ago that passed away from HIV, turned into AIDS. The day after his funeral, the health centers were lined up because he was passing it to everybody and didn't know.
Wow.
And everybody was just sleeping with this person unprotectedly. Come to find out, children, it was just a mess about what happened to this person, and it affected his whole family. So, and you know, for one night of pleasure, you could cost everyone their life. Is this something that shouldn't be taken lightly? And we really need to wise up. And everybody who Muslim, yes, we're Muslim, but what does it say? Tie your camel. And what we mean by tie your camel is don't be stupid. Don't be stupid, people. Yeah, we're Muslim, but you can't trust every and anybody. All Muslims ain't honorable. Islam is perfect. Muslims are not.
Yeah.
So if you care about your kids and your family, and you want to be able to live to see your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, inshallah, go get tested. Just go get tested. You can go through Nafi's program, and it's free. Confidential. They'll provide you with counseling if you came back HIV positive.
We also do presentations, you know, like at different at Gardenzi houses, at Rihanna's, a lot of different transition homes. So it's not necessarily the fact that you have to be HIV positive. You don't have to be HIV positive to get a workshop at your community center. We will come. We have PowerPoint presentations. We can do testing. We can go anywhere and set up and give you the information you need to spread it through your community. We're trying to wake the community up. The motto of our program is worst comes to worst, our people come first. You have to be your brother's keeper. You take care of yourself, then you reach out and help somebody else. And you have to do that by giving them the correct knowledge. And you also, we were talking about these numbers, and we were talking about Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, but these are also numbers, as we talked about, that were recorded. And the numbers that were recorded are from people that are out here in society. You still have a large group of people, Muslim men and women, that are behind these bars.
Yeah.
That are
yeah.
still dope, that are still getting tattoos, that are still practicing homosexuality, that are still sleeping around, that are still doing a lot of things. And they come home to their significant other, to their husband, to their wife, and you know, okay, they're doing their thing, they're going to the mass, they're doing it, but they don't know they're carrying a lot of baggage with them.
Right.
Because they haven't gotten tested while they're in there. Or a lot of, I've heard this a million times, oh, when you're in prison, that's a whole other world. No, it's the same world. HIV, AIDS, Hep C does not differentiate between prison and the free world. It's everywhere. So, you know, and we all know people that have been locked up or people that's on parole or probation and they go, they got a 10-year tail, a 15-year tail, and out of that 10, 15-year tail, they're going to spend 2 years back in the prison here, 3 years back here. So what's going on while they're still in prison? Why do they keep going back and forth?
Right.
This is all an opportunity for them to contract this virus. So this is a social ill. So we have to deal with society and the social ills and the social economical problem and get our communities healthy. Get us tested, get us healthy, and get us back on the road to success.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let me see if there's any callers out there. If you have any questions for myself or Nafis, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and hit 1, and we'll gladly take your call. We'll wait. Well, I'll continue to talk because I want to get some more information out of Nafis, because, I mean, this information that he is providing is very beneficial to any and everyone. You know, this is something, you know, that we should maintain, especially being Muslims. We should be up on our health and, you know, care about, you know, what's happening to our families and so forth. So I know that you spoke about Hep C, and a lot of people don't know what that is, or, you know how you can contract it. You know, is there a cure for it? I mean, I know those answers, but if you could speak on Hep C a little bit for us, so that, you know, our listeners, whoever is out there listening to us, can get some, you know, education on Hep C.
Sure, not a problem. Hep C, of course, is a virus. And as we know, for most viruses, there is no cure. Just recently, I think within the last, two years, they just got a cure, interferon, for Hep C. So that's a blessing. But you still have to protect yourself, because just because there's a cure don't mean you put yourself at risk to contract these viruses, because you know you can get a pill or a shot that can cure your problem. Hep C, the mode of transmission is just like HIV, through blood, saliva, breast milk, things of that nature. Of course, unprotected sex. Anytime there's blood being transferred through a needle, a toothbrush, a razor, you put yourself at risk of catching Hep C. This is something that is dangerous. And if you have HIV and Hep C, it's bad enough if you just have one of these infections. But if you have two and you're co-infected, then your immune system is at greater risk, and it's harder to get the medicines to work, because you might be taking HIV medications to address the HIV infection, but then you have Hep C, then you had to take the interferon for the Hep C. And your immune system cannot, on all this medication, your body, your liver, all these things cannot take on all this medication, because these medications, although they're effective and they give people longevity in life, they're very toxic. So you have to be careful with these medications. These are very strong medications.
Yeah, people don't understand, and you can get Hep C through tattoos and things of that nature, you know, piercings.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, especially a lot of younger kids, are out there, they're having these tattoo parties, and people who are performing these tattoo parties aren't using sterilized needles. They're reusing it without sterilization, or, you know, putting it through, you know, a systematic cleansing system, you know. They're just reusing it, so you can contract Hep C through tattoos. So be careful, guys, when you're, you know, getting these tattoos or having these tattoo parties. Make sure you get it done at a professional tattoo salon or whatever. And, you know, I know us being Muslim, tattoos are haram, but we know that people do what they want to do anyway. So we're just trying to advise you on the ways to do it and to prevent, you know, infecting yourself with these type of viruses. As far as the piercings as well, like, you know, a lot of people are getting these piercings, their tongue, lip, eye, face, you know, and other areas. Just make sure that the places that you're going to get these services done is clean, they're licensed, they've been through inspections and things of that nature. And that information should be public for you to ask, like, are you a licensed piercing salon, things of that nature. Just make sure that, you know, they are, because if they're using dirty tools on you, you can contract Hep C that way as well. So just again, if anybody wants to dial in, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and hit 1, and we'll gladly patch you through, and you can ask your questions for me, Quadira, or Nafis. Now, the third highest sexually transmitted disease that you spoke of was herpes. So this give us a brief example, or, you know, you can elaborate as much as you want about, you know, herpes, because people have all these kinds of ideas of what it is. They're looking for sores and things of that nature. But a lot of people don't understand that your partner could have herpes and never even had an outbreak because their system is set up different than yours. So once they pass the virus to you without having any open sores or anything, they're passing it through you to you through sexually transmitted avenues, and they be like, well, I didn't never have no sores, or I never had no outbreaks. Their body makeup is different from yours, so their body may have been able to suppress the outbreak. Now, I've heard things like that where it's like, oh, I never had that. Like, I never had no sores or scabs or whatever you're talking about or nothing like that. And come to find out, you did have it when you go and get tested. It comes out in blood work. So just tell us a little bit about herpes, so that, you know, the people can be aware of that as well.
Oh, yeah. But herpes, it's the same thing. It's a virus. There is no cure for it. There's several different complexes of herpes. It's complex one, it's complex two. and it's just, you can't get rid of it. So it's something that at this point, we're blessed that it can be managed. They do have a medication, Valtrex, which can be administered. There's several creams and stuff that can help reduce the amount of outbreaks a person has. But just like you said, it still can be transmitted. And it's a virus, so it's no cure for it. So we had to protect ourselves. And just because, and you know, person says, okay, I do have herpes, we can have sex because I haven't had an outbreak in a year, and I have no sores or blisters, because with the herpes virus, the outbreak comes as a lot of small little blisters on wherever, on the lip, on the hand, on the female's vagina, on the man's penis, and it's the fluid within that blister that passes the virus on. So a lot of times when a person has a cold sore, it's a form of herpes. It might not be the simplex 2 or 3, but it's a form of it, and it can be transmitted. So we have to be careful when we see, women or men, depending on, you know, what type of lifestyle you live, with these blisters on their lips or on their hands, and they say, oh, it's just a blister, it's this. No, it's not. You have something else. And a lot of times they don't even know what it is themselves. So this is why it's important to go get tested. If you see something and it's not supposed to be there, it's not supposed to be there. You know, you need to go someplace to get tested. You know yourself. Right. You know yourself better than anybody else. You know what I mean? If for the first 18 years of your life you never had any kind of sores or lesions or blisters on your body, and you wake up one day and you start having all these scratching or blisters or stuff going on, hey, this is not supposed to be here. I need to go to talk. I need to go talk to somebody. I need to go get tested just to be safe. It might not be nothing, but be safe. You know what I mean? Right. Self-preservation is the first law of nature. You have to take care of ourselves, people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, there are a couple of other sexually transmitted diseases that people don't speak of too much because I don't know if they don't think it's prevalent no more. Like, we got trichomonas out there. Now, the thing with trichomonas, which is really crazy, is I don't know if people know that the man can carry it and never show no symptoms of it at all. But he can pass it to you, and within a week's time, or you could carry that for months and not have any episodes until that bacteria builds up so much, then it starts to cause problems like discharge and so forth. So, like, people don't understand, like, trichomonas, that's a sexually transmitted disease, that's a bacterial infection. And women are susceptible to get things like that, like you get vaginosis, yeast infection, things like that. So, you know, that runs in that family, chlamydia, gonorrhea.
Definitely.
So,
that's
syphilis.
Yeah. Candidosis.
You know, vaginal warts. So if you start to see something growing on your genital area or even around your anal area where it looks like it's sprouting cauliflower or broccoli, you need to go to the doctor. Because that's not normal. Like Nafi said, it's not normal. If you start to feel lumps or bumps or anything like that, make sure you go. And something that, you know, is coming up in the news a lot and, you know, it's starting to be more prevalent. And I know, like, with my daughters, my oldest daughter, they were, like, the first ones to start getting the HPV vaccine when they were, like, 12, 13. They had to go through a series of, like, steps to get their shots every 3 months and things like that. So I got my kids inoculated against HPV. Speak on that a little bit, because this is something that's up and coming, and, you know, it's not just a woman's disease. The men carry this disease and don't know it. So it's similar to, like, trichomonas or, you know, like one of those bacterial infections where you don't know, a man doesn't know because he's not having a burning urine, he's not seeing, you know, sores or anything like that. He's carrying it, but he can pass it to you. So if you want to speak a little bit on about HPV, to get everybody aware of that also.
Oh, yeah, definitely. HPV, it's funny you said that because I have something right in front of me on HPV. there's no cure for this virus, and it says about 70% to 90% of cases of HPV are cleared from the body and by the immune system. But that, like you said, this is a problem that we cause warts. Different size warts at different locations of your body. And it's a treatment that can be applied as a gel or a cream, or it can be laser or surgically removed. 30 to 60% of warts will reoccur regardless of treatment used. So you're catching HPV, you might say, okay, it's just a little, like you said, a cauliflower lesion on my anus or my penis or my vagina or whatever, and I put a little gel or cream and it goes away. But here I'm telling you, 30 to 60% of those warts which you have used the gel or whatever to get rid of, they will come back regardless of the treatment used. The warts and infected with the warts and HIV infection is more difficult to get rid of because your immune system is being compromised. So you can't fight off these warts, and it's just very hard. A lot of women or men, they have it around their vagina, their mouth, or other areas. And it says that you're supposed to stop having sex until the symptoms are resolved. There are vaccines available. Surfex is a currently approved for young women that help them. But it also says that it is encouraged, just like you said you had your daughters vaccinated, that it is recommended that all children between the ages of 11 to 12 should be vaccinated.
I didn't want to cut you off, but I wanted to make the audience aware of, after you become sexually active, you can't get the HPV shot. They won't give it to you.
Okay.
They won't give it. The reason why they give it to the girls so young, and now I heard that they're trying to do trials to inoculate the boys as well, is because once you start having sex, if you don't know you got HPV, it's like, what's the sense of getting a shot? Because you already got it. It won't cure it. It won't remove it. So that's why they want the children to get it before they start being sexually active. If you get it before you're sexually active and you do come in contact with somebody or you have unprotected sex, and they do have HPV, and again, this is only against certain strains of HPV that's prevented. You could still get it because it could be a different strain. So I just wanted to make that point because that was something, you know, I asked my children's physician about, like, you know, the different strains, and the HPV shot that they give you know, the girls right now, before they become promiscuous, is for certain strains. If that person has a different strain, same thing like with HIV, you know, if it's a different strain, the medicine can't prevent it because it's not created to block that particular strain.
Right. And it definitely is one of the modes of transmission is skin-to-skin contact. So, you know, it's not necessarily you have a condom on and you're protecting yourself. If he has this lesion someplace else, you can touch it. If you're fondling, you know, you can touch this area and get this transmission from skin-to-skin contact.
Okay. And we got a caller. Oh, I'm sorry. We have a caller from area code 513. You can put him through.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
This is Brother Salim calling out of Cincinnati.
Hey, Salim. Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
I'm good. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so the topic of today is about why do African Americans have so many STDs?
Yep.
Is that the topic?
Yep, that's the topic today. Yep, that's the topic.
Okay, all right. Well, can I add my little 2 cents in, if you don't mind?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, as I said in the last podcast, until you understand racism and white supremacy, everything you think you know will just confuse you. So I start off by saying that all the time because a lot of these STDs, if you go back to the history, the Tuskegee experiments were done on African-American or melanoid people. So a lot of these new strands, these papillomavirus viruses, all these viruses were created by the white supremacists to, one, to bring down our numbers, two, to frighten us from procreating with our own kind. So when you talk about getting your kids vaccinated, you have to be careful with that as well, because a lot of these vaccinations do not interact well with melanoid genes. And also, you could be sterilizing your children or giving them mental disorders or mental diseases without even knowing it. So I'm totally against vaccinations. Period. I don't get them at all. My children have never been vaccinated because I understand that the white supremacists are using every avenue to attack us as Black people, even when it comes to healthcare and things they claim to be help us prevent us from getting sick are also aiding in our destruction as well. So a lot of the statistics out there are very skewed as well. So they make it seem like, you know, all the Black folks has got all the problems. You know, we got all, you know, we low on the totem pole of far as wealth. Well, we sickly, we're sick. So a lot of that stuff is to keep you afraid. It's to keep you mentally enslaved and afraid to touch your own people. That's all I wanted to add to that. I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, you know, and this is my opinion on it, and I mean, you're right. Some of those things that you stated are absolutely correct, but we can't ignore the fact that there are people out there with HIV in large numbers or any sexual transmitted diseases that are African American. We can say however they planned and how they did whatever they wanted, but we still got these teens out here. We still got these young people out here still sleeping around unprotected, not wearing, having a care in the world. And this call was basically just to make people aware of what's out there and to prevent it from happening. Now, we know that we could talk till we blew in the face about, you know, how, you know, things are happening in our society, in our communities, and so forth and so on. But if we're not taking action to stop those activities and we're continuing, the numbers are just going to keep rising. And then, as you say, you know, the white supremacy, we're going to be, you know, labeled this way and we're labeled that way. But if we're actually feeding into that, hey, we're leaving the front door open. How do you leave your front door open and expect nobody to rob you? And, you know, that's my stance on it.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. But like I said, the issue also goes back to we have learned poor sexual behaviors. It's been passed down. So, and then another thing is, you know, when you don't have any economy or any money to be preventative, you know, I work in the pharmaceutical industry, and a lot of these medications are expensive. Healthcare is expensive. So I always tie things back to a money issue or economic issue. So if Black people or African Americans had the money to really, you know, be at the forefront of healthcare and also preventative health care, we would be in a lot better situation if we had our own economy and our own hospitals. Because I really don't think that we're getting our just due out of these hospitals. And so they want you to be sick. This medication is very expensive. But also, what happens when you're not building anything or when you don't have any other activities or when you can't afford to do nothing, all you do is just lay up and have sex all day. You don't have any, you know, you just laying there just having sex. So, you know, I go back to always building. I tie it all back to money. I tie it all back to what we need to do and the learned behaviors that we have and issues that we're dealing with from really slavery and post-traumatic slave syndrome. So we have to really educate ourselves on how do we really approach sex and, you know, and intercourse. It's not something you do for recreation. It's something that you do because when you, every time you have sex, the goal should be I'm trying to produce. Okay, but we have sex recreationally. And that's also a problem that I see as well. And Islam is a great cure for that. And what I mean by that is that we shouldn't be having this recreational sex because we should be married. We should be in marriages and institutions that promote us being monogamous and being married so we can prevent a lot of these STDs. So Islam has a cure, I believe, an answer for all these issues and elements, including the STD rate amongst the African-American community as well.
I agree with you 100%. Islam is the cure for everything, as far as I'm concerned. And I agree with you. And I agree with you in terms of that we need to take a forefront or a more aggressive, progressive step into putting into our own communities. This is why I established this program. It's saying this is for the people. This is Islamically based. This is a free program. So you don't have to have health care. You don't have the only requirement to participate in my program is the need for service. You have a problem with substance abuse, you come down there, get counseling. You have Hep C, you come down there, get tested, get counseling. You have HIV, you come down there, get tested, get counseling, and refer you to where you need to go.
That's excellent.
So I agree with you with that. We definitely have to take a stance as Muslims, as Islamic community, to get more involved with this. You know what I mean? To support each other. You know what I mean? I need your support. You said you work at a pharmaceutical company. I need your support. I need you to
definitely.
I need you to send a rep out here to Philadelphia. I'm putting on the health bazaar in October, the beginning of October, end of September, somewhere around that area. I need a pharmaceutical rep to come out here to talk to the people, to talk to them about drugs, to talk to them about the importance of trying to stay healthy. Because from the standpoint of my program, if you can't be healthy, you can't produce in your community. If you're not healthy, just like you just said, people are having sex recreationally. Islam is not built that way. But if you're not healthy, then you're not producing healthy children, you're not having a healthy community, and you're having a problem with producing in the community. You know what I mean?
Agree, brother. I agree. I know I hear people on the phone every day in my current position who are literally on the phone crying because they can't afford medications. Now, these medications, medications have tier levels, tier 1, 2, and 3, and 4. A lot of these HIV medications are tier 4 medications that cost up to hundreds of thousands of dollars just to get a small supply of these medications. So when you get one of these STDs or these incurable diseases, you also have to keep in mind the money it's going to cost you to get one of these cures or something that can either, it won't even cure it, it just masks the symptoms a while or keep you living a little while longer. These medications are very expensive. They call them specialty drugs. So in order to prevent you fall into the category where, first of all, if you're poor, definitely do not want to get one of these STDs, one of these incurable STDs.
Yes, sir. You're right about that.
Because if you can't afford to get this.
Even if you have, let me tell you, I got one of the best health cares out there. I got one of the best health care systems out there that I pay for an arm and a leg for. And let me tell you, even my, like, co-pay for them, even I'm like, can y'all put that in generic? Can I get the generic for that? And, you know, if they can't fill it in generic, in generic, and I got to get the, you know, the regular label, I'm telling you, like, it will break your pockets. And I'm talking about, this is somebody who has health care coverage, you know, like one of the top health care coverage. And to pay for these prescriptions are insane. Even if you get a generic, or if you can get, you know, a no name brand level drug, but if you have to get the name brand, like cholesterol medicine, one of those tight ones, like that stuff is ridiculous how much you have to pay for it.
Right.
And, you know, if your doctor says no, you don't need. Right. If your doctor says no, you can't get the generic, you got to get the name brand. Well, you might as well just toss your Coach bag money or your Michael Kors money right out the door, because that's going to your prescription. And you
right.
know,
and
like,
imagine when you get older. When you get older, and you know, I talk to clients on the phone who are in their 60s, the 80s, the 90s, and to hear a grown person cry because they're saying that I can't get this medication, I'm going to die without the medication, and there's no way on the end of the phone that you can approve them for that medication because that medication is $900 just for a 90-day supply. I mean, it's very heart-wrenching, and it keeps you in mind, you know, as a man, what are you doing to prepare yourself when you get older? As far as if you need medications. And so I'm taking my health now. One of my goals now is to, I'm 32, is to get into the best shape of my life and stay that way. Because these medications, I'm telling you, it's sad.
And,
I mean, it's like, whoa.
As y'all said, Islam has the cure for that. If you cannot afford a wife, then fast. Plain and simple.
Right.
It's that
right.
easy. It's dead easy.
Well, I mean,
you
know what?
Well,
my thing is, if you can't afford a wife, you should be figuring out how you can afford a wife and stop making excuses about why you can't go out here and build a business using the Quran and Sunnah to support, you know, you being lackadaisical and not wanting to build and have the means to go out here and marry you a wife to keep you away from, you know, Zina and unfortunate, or in any event, catch you from get or prevent you from getting one of these STDs. But there's a lot of Muslims out here who have these STDs. So I wonder what kind of outlets or outreaches are out there for them who already have these STDs. I don't see anything out there as far as counseling or, well, the brother has a program. I came on the late end of the show, so I don't really know what he said that he has going on.
No,
but
he spoke on all that. Okay, great. The rewind of it.
Yeah. I came on a late end. Yeah.
This program sounds phenomenal. Go ahead, Nafis. You can give us some more information about your program again.
If you go to IslamicHealth.wordpress.com, that's my website. You can view my website, or you can go to IslamSRN.wordpress.com. You can go. That's another one of my sites. You can email me at nysalam43@yahoo.com. Or you can contact me directly, 484-752-9378. We provide testing, we provide counseling, we provide referrals. We all free of charge. Like I said earlier in this broadcast, the only requirement for service is the need for help. All you have to do, if you have one of these sexually transmitted diseases, or you're addicted to drugs, if one of these sisters are in an abusive situation, you contact us. We'll sit down, do an assessment on you, get a road of action, a plan of action together for you, and refer you to where you need to go and get you some help and get you back on your feet. So these are the things that my programs offer.
And Nafis, if you could, when we're done the call, could you just inbox me that information so I could put up on the page so everybody
sure.
can have it? I would appreciate it.
Not a problem.
And Salim, are you still there? Do you have any other questions? Oh, he might have dropped off by now. Okay,
yeah.
So do you have any closing remarks or anything that you want to say before we wrap up the call?
One last thing, I'd implore everybody out there that's in any situation as far as any type of sexually transmitted disease, or sisters, are you in any type of abusive relationship, are you people addicted to any type of drug or a substance abuse, that you go seek help, whether it be with SAN and SRN. If it's not with us, go seek help someplace. Get tested, get help, get healthy, and get back on this dinghy so we can go ahead and do what we got to do as Muslims and live the way we're supposed to live. And in terms of the imams and the masjids out here, we need your support. I need your support. I need you to get in contact with me. I need to be able to come to your masjid, to your community centers, to the synagogues, to the churches, wherever, and test these people and inform the people. You don't have to be infected. You're affected. Because even if you're not infected, you're affected because it's affecting our community. If your brother, your sister, your aunt, your cousin, your niece is infected, then it is affecting you. And it's affecting all of us. So I implore you all to get tested and come support the saying, we need your help.
And Nafis, may Allah reward you for all the information that you provided to us. It was beneficial information that you provided, you know, to us and, you know, to me and also to the community and everybody that's listening on the call right now. You know, it's something that we want to avoid. Just like, you know, no one wants to talk about death, but we all know that it's going to happen. You know, in Hadith it says, in Korean it says, you know, there's a cure for every disease on this planet except for death. That's something we can't avoid. And we don't know what the cure is for a lot of these diseases. So what we have to do is tie our camel. And, you know, if you're out there having sex, stop. Get tested. Find out your status. You know, if you're married, stop whatever you're doing. You know, adhere to Quran and Sunnah. And do what's right and make sure that your family is healthy and you're not, you know, bringing something in from somewhere and passing it on to your wife and to your children and so forth. You know, it's a lot of times we take a lot of things for advantage as far as our health. And, you know, they're like, oh, people think, oh, I'm just healthy, I'm healthy, I'm healthy. And then all of a sudden you come down, you know, and you're sick. You know, that's something that I ask Allah for my doers is that, even in my old age, keep me sane and give me my health, because you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have your health and your sanity, right, you're just good as dead. Like, you might as well just be dead, because those are two valuable and important things. And, you know, another thing I want to put out there to the callers is we're living longer. Inshallah, we're living longer. Like, my parents could retire when they were 65 and the 64 and a half and all that good stuff. When I get that paper from Social Security, they tell me I can retire when I'm 72. That's because the life expectancy has risen. And for African-American women, it's almost double that for African-American men. So, hey, if I'm in my 70s and 80s or whatever like that, there are people out there that are still actively sexual at that age range. So, you know, that's another thing that people have to keep in mind. Yeah, we're living longer, but we're also still having sex. So, you know, like, we can't just say, oh, the teenagers and, you know, the young people. We got to bring that range to everybody. So anybody that's out there having sex, whether you're 80, whether you're 15, go get tested. Go get tested, because just because you're older don't mean you're immune from catching these diseases. I mean, you know, it's just the fact of the matter that someone 75 or whatever could come in and have herpes. I mean, it's a fact of the matter that it can happen. So, you know, this call was not to point fingers at nobody. This call was to educate people to what's going on in the community, to make you aware of what's out there. It's a live wire, as they say. It's a live wire out there. People could look healthy. They could look fine and be HIV infected, could have HPV, could have Hep C, and so forth. And Hep C, in my book, is worse than having HIV because it messes with your liver. Right. And anything that messes with your liver, you just want to leave that alone. Seriously, like that whole liver thing is crazy. If y'all got time, go out there and research that. Nafis, I appreciate you joining the call and providing us with such beneficial information. On that note, if there is no one else that has anything else to say, Speak now, forever hold your peace. If not, it's your law. We'll talk to you next Saturday. I have a good topic that will be on Religion Means Alive, and I appreciate everyone listening and joining the call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.